Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us human beings. Allah is the Khaliq, Allah is the Rabb, He is the Creator, He is our Lord. And Allah Ta'ala's kingdom, His control, His supremacy, we can see in such a way that we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that there should be no other love in comparison in our heart, in our hearts. And mentally, physically, externally, internally, hidden, apparent, in every way it should be proven from a person's movements and mannerism and behavior that that person, each and every human being, loves his Khaliq, his Malik in such a way that if we compare and look around, then there's no other love or regard or affection for anything else in creation that can compare with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a important factor for us in our lives, an important point to consider. And this shows us that our azim and greatest purpose in life, that we live in this world and we live in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love always prevails, is always predominant for each and every one of us. And when we depart from this world, we should depart in such a way that we depart with iman in the depths of our hearts. And we have total love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our life and when we depart from this world. But if we see the reality, the ground reality, then very few people are in this hal. That upon small issues and problems, we do away with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. We should have fikr for the akhirah, worry for the akhirah hereafter. There are three questions that we need to pass. And if we look at them, if we read them or hear them, we think it's very easy to answer these questions. But the solution to those questions will be upon this point, if there is love for Allah in the heart. These three questions that will be asked in the grave, Allah Ta'ala will ask, only that individual will be able to answer in whose heart there is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's understand this point now. The person who doesn't have love in his heart for Allah, we can see that person in the world, in the dunya, that is exposed. That does that person live his life in accordance to Allah Ta'ala's obedience and ahkams? If it is not, then when that person departs this world in that state, then in reality that person is unsuccessful, is not successful. The person loses out in the akhirah. So my brothers, upon this point, we need to think a little bit. We need to reflect, because we are all going to pass away. We are all going to die one day. And Allah, when He created this world, He created with this tariqah that He spread out His desire, the yearning in the man's heart for the closeness to Allah. But we have now the yearning for the dunya. It's easy for me to say that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's easy, isn't it, that my Rabb is Allah. But when the time comes for amal, the amal and the time for amal, for practice, we fail. The first point here is that we need to continue to reflect upon our status and situation. That am I honest or am I a liar? Do I really love Allah or am I pretending? And we should analyze, reflect on this regularly, because the person who lies will be unsuccessful. Remember this. And there's only one way to analyze this, very simple. That when Allah Ta'ala's hukm comes, Allah Ta'ala's order comes, then on that hukm, if a person is steadfast, regular, implementing Allah's orders, then alhamdulillah, that person has the love of Allah in his heart or her heart. And if Allah's hukm is coming, Allah's order is coming, and then in opposition to that, there are the desires and attractions and precious things that we can see. And at that time, the individual says, no, I don't want the things that are in opposition to Allah Ta'ala's desire, then that person will succeed. So this is the way to reflect and analyze. And the rest, obviously, we are all prone to sin. There are things lacking in our lives. The effects of the world continue. We live in this world, there are attractions, there are downfalls. So a person should cure the problems that he has in his life or her life. We should go towards the cure. This is it. Obviously, there are issues, there are challenges. So if we analyze our lives, we see that yes, we are practicing, but there are some weaknesses. Or even if we don't see the weakness, then we need to prepare for the time when there may be weakness. So we need to make up for our errors. So if in our hearts there is not the love for Allah that there should be, then we need to seek the solution. Now, how can I attain Allah Ta'ala's love in my heart? How? And that's it. That's all we have to understand, that when a person goes to the friend of Allah, the wali of Allah, and he requests for bayah, for becoming a student of the sheikh, of the teacher, then the objective of the student is this. And the lesson that the friend of Allah, the wali of Allah, gives to his murid, to his student, is this lesson, that your success, my student, is if you instill or increase Allah Ta'ala's love. You have got love for Allah in your heart, but you need to increase it. You need to strengthen it. Strengthen it this much, so much that there's no limit to Allah Ta'ala's love in your heart. No upper limit. So alhamdulillah, this is our function in life. And there's a very clear principle for this, with even in accordance to the principles of dunya, of the world, that if a person in his heart, if he has not got the love or greatness or esteem in the heart for something or somebody, then the person should do such an action that that esteem and love or regard increases. A very simple way. Alhamdulillah, many people in whose hearts they did not have the love of Allah, the poor souls, they were immersed in the sins, drowned in sins, busy with sins, used to commit the sins. Allah gave them tawfiq. They understood the words of their sheikh. And he said, oh, you should do those actions that will allow Allah's greatness and Allah's love to come into your heart. So amalan, you could start to see that they improved, and amalan and dhahir, apparent, openly. So when they took hold of that maqam, then with the fadl of Allah, the love of Allah came into their hearts. Alhamdulillah. So how can it be that a person doesn't attain Allah's love in the heart? How can this be? So now, if we want Allah Ta'ala's love, then we should do those actions, we should implement those actions that bring and attract Allah Ta'ala's love in the heart. Otherwise, what's the point of Karen crying, oh, I don't have a love for Allah, it's difficult for me, I'm weak, etc. Without Allah's love in the heart, then every order of Allah seems very difficult to implement. And when Allah Ta'ala's love comes into the heart, then every action becomes easy. Easy. And then when it becomes easy, then that individual has love with Allah. And enjoyment is attained. That, oh, this is Allah's order. Oh, that's it. Oh, Allah said it. That's it. I'm just going to do it. I don't have any other care. So the person has a feeling in the heart that this is Allah's order. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is his order. That's it. End of story. That we have been ordered that we need to do away with everything else apart from Allah's orders and Rasulullah's order. So if we have to then sacrifice our desires or our own plans, Allah says that everything should be secondary. Mother, father, wife, children, dunya, etc. Allah says, my love should predominate, should prevail. So here, if we get to this position, then we'll see totally that this person is successful. If we aren't on that platform, then we are living a life of deceit. So a person has tests in life, always, regularly. We have Allah Ta'ala's love, Allah's hukam, Allah's orders. And if on the other side, we don't have that in our life, but when a person improves and goes towards the path where he is implementing Allah Ta'ala's orders, then he's successful. For example, dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance and announcement has been made that dhikr will happen in this masjid. So what has brought you here? It is the love of Allah, isn't it? What has brought you here to this gathering of dhikr? It is muhabbat. It is love. This is the proof that you have love for Allah in your heart. So in this same way, when somebody is doing something wrong, then recognize that this is far from Allah Ta'ala's love. That I'm stood here as a munafiq, hypocrite, liar, So these maqams come regularly in a person's life. If a person passes away, then the time of passing away, everything will be exposed about him or her. So here we have come now and sat in the dhikr of Allah, and we didn't know before what was the love of Allah, but there's an emotion that has brought us here, pulled us here, attracted us to this gathering, isn't it? So at that time when we left, we didn't think that, is Allah Ta'ala's love in my heart? Is this, am I going due to Allah Ta'ala's love? This wasn't coming to my mind or my heart. But in reality, the love is hidden. It's there, intact in our hearts, that we have done something. We had a little bit of a thought or regard. We did an action which was due to Allah Ta'ala's love. And then as a result, we heard that Allah Ta'ala's name is being mentioned and we want to go to the gathering. So this is dalil, proof that Allah's love is there and improvement is being attained. So to fulfill the gap in our hearts, to fulfill that gap in the love for Allah, we should do those actions that create Allah Ta'ala's love. And for this, especially to attain Allah Ta'ala's love in the heart, Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to attain my love, increase my love, strengthen my love in your heart, then what is the action that we need to carry out? That Allah Ta'ala has clearly explained to us a piece of advice, guidance, that Allah Ta'ala says, I am with my servant when he does my dhikr. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Tell me, brothers, that if Allah Ta'ala is with his servant, isn't this a dalil itself that Allah Ta'ala loves the individual who is doing his dhikr? Whether we feel it or not, all of these things happen. Spiritually, they have a link with the ruh. They are spiritual. So when a person does the dhikr of Allah, then he starts to become close to his Rabb. Remember this point. Becomes qareeb. Close. And the reality of this, inshallah, an individual will see after maut that when he used to do dhikr of Allah, he was qareeb, close to Allah, because according to the Quran and the hadith, Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَا مَا عَبَدِي مَا ذَكَرَنِي, that I'm with that individual, I'm with that person when he or she does my dhikr, when he or she remembers me. SubhanAllah, great statement. Allah Ta'ala is with that person. Amazing. Another hadith with regards to dhikr, that a person who does the dhikr of Allah, Most High, the Almighty, when a human being does dhikr of Allah, when a human being does dhikr of Almighty Allah, then from Allah, the Almighty, the invitation for love comes and the love for Allah increases, and this increases and increases and increases. And then that person achieves the closeness, not qurb, but an extreme closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person does the dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah, carries on doing dhikr, then Allah's extreme nearness is attained. Extreme. So my brothers, this is happening with the insan, human being. Don't leave dhikr ever. Whether you're sinning, made a mistake, you feel weak, or there are restrictions, obstacles, hurdles. Method is, don't leave the dhikr of Allah. The more dhikr you do in kathira, you will get closer to Allah. And this is the da'wah for Allah Ta'ala's love. Dhikr of Allah. For this reason, we'll see that all of the awliyaullah, the pious elders, mashayikh, due to the nisbat of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, they became close to Allah. Never leave dhikr. They never left dhikr. Rather, even despite the fact that they were walis of Allah, and they were close to Allah, they continued to do dhikr of Allah, and they continued to increase in their rank and their status. So the first point here is that we need to be grateful to Allah for this ni'mah, for this amal of dhikr of Allah. We say, Allah, we have shukr to you. We are grateful to you that you've given us understanding and love and esteem for the dhikr of Allah. And this is the door to your love. The dhakir who remembers Allah, always remember this point, always. He will never leave this world empty-handed. Never will he lose out in this world. Never will he depart from this world empty-handed. So with the fadl and karam of Allah, in Ramadan, do dhikr of Allah in abundance, walking, traveling, keep on doing the dhikr of the heart, qalbi dhikr, always pay attention to your heart, focus on your heart, because in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that leave, for example, your work or your business or your shops or etc. Yes, a person should make his, schedule in Ramadan in such a way that he reduces his work in the dunya and does more for the akhirah, but it's not forbidden that we don't go to work or leave business. Who's going to leave his business, leave your shop or your business place or your premises? No, this is not the hukum, this is not the order. So for this, Allah Ta'ala says that the person who does my dhikr in his heart, standing, walking, working, etc., always in the qalb, Allah, 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 whether you've wudu or not, etc., with a person gets tired of all ibadat, reading Quran, you get tired, prostrating, you will get tired. But once you do dhikr, if you do more dhikr, 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 you won't tire, rather you will get more refreshed. Allah Ta'ala has put the effect in his dhikr. So brothers, this is a great action. We should also in parallel leave the sins. In parallel leave the sins. And the point is that we are human beings. We can make mistakes. We are prone to making mistakes. And the sins that we commit, zahiri, batini, both sins, in Ramadan we should try to leave the sins. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah, we should do amal on Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah. And we should totally clearly in our minds understand this point, that Allah Ta'ala has made this a rule, a law, that if we do not obey and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we cannot attain Allah's love. We just cannot. So we need to fulfill the action on the sunnah. And whichever sunnah we hear about, learn about, read about, we need to implement it. If there's a sunnah which is wajib, we need to implement that sunnah. We cannot eliminate the sunnah from our lives. If there's mustahab, desirable, keep it on that level. So whichever level the sunnah mubarak, the blessed sunnah, specific action is on, whichever level, we need to practice that level. And especially the wajib sunnah action. A person who leaves that is an extreme sinner, and he is living the life through Ramadan in the way of a criminal, in the way of a sinner. His fast, the fast of that person who discards the sunnah, he is just wasting the time in Ramadan. He's not attaining what he should attain. Alongside sins in parallel with sins, that person is wasting his whole Ramadan. He is lost from these spiritual benefits of Ramadan. I'm talking about the wajib sunnah, which is lazim on all of us. If we discard that, without that, we cannot have success. Our ibadat, they are hanging. They're hanging. They're totally a waste, rather, I could say. So we should realize what are the wajib sunnahs that we must implement, which are compulsory. Who has deceived us? The Quran is full of guidance. Hadith are full of guidance. The ulama, the scholars. So which points are we doing amal on? That we leave the wajib of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We leave the compulsory actions? It's something to think about, my brothers. That somebody should give dalil that I am committing this sin for this reason. Or I'm committing this sin for this reason. So I don't care. For example, doesn't matter if my salah is spoiled, or if my fast is spoiled, or my Ramadan is spoiled, etc. This person thinks and feels, oh my ibadat, Allah Ta'ala has given me a beautiful month, it will get spoiled. I don't care about this, but I will not do amal on the actions against the sunnah of Rasulullah. And a person who says that I will not practice the sunnah, is this dalil? This is a big deception. And that person is trapped in the net of shaitan. In the net of shaitan. That with a hard heart, he is going towards Jahannam. That he says, Allah Ta'ala says that you will lose Ramadan. You can keep the fast and read the Quran and the juz and do as much ibadah as you want. But Allah Ta'ala says that you have discarded the sunnah of my Nabi. You are rejecting his practice, due to which all of your deeds will be a waste and not accepted. Is this not ajeeb? Is this not ajeeb? It's something to think about. So a hard heart, what should we do? May Allah Ta'ala soften that heart and cast his mercy, a merciful glance to us. And Allah Ta'ala has ordered that it's wajib, this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I say, Allah, how can I leave this sunnah? I'm fasting, I'm hungry and thirsty, this is nothing. The Quran is sending the curse on me whilst I read the Quran. And I don't realize this, but I know what are the sins, and I know that I'm rejecting this sunnah, this wajib sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm trying to earn rizq, etc. I'm trying to earn the dunya by leaving the sunnah. This will not be achievable. We need to have that feeling. Regard now the wajib sunnah. We should accept it and embrace it and practice it. We should correct ourselves, make ourselves better, and spend Ramadan in a nice way. Because Ramadan comes once in the year. Once. Yesterday's fast has gone. Is gone. Today's fast is going, and it will go soon. Yesterday's fast, we spoilt it with sins. Today's fast, we spoilt it with the sins. Even today, if we do tawbah, repent, then Allah Ta'ala is so merciful. He says that your previous two fasts, that you have carried out, I'll give you the reward for those as well. So today we can do tawbah, repent, Allah made a mistake. That the wajib sunnah, the compulsory sunnah, there are different levels, aren't there? Different categories. Wajib, compulsory, there's mustahab, desirable or preferable, and they are not lazim, those practices. Even those sunnah are afdal, they're great, there's a lot of thawab, reward, but the wajib sunnah, that's wajib, compulsory, there's no questions. There's no challenge. That's the condition. How can we leave those sunnahs? So brothers, let's do tawbah. Let's repent with a honest heart that Allah, I am leaving this amal. This amal, this action has destroyed my whole life. I do tawbah from this destructive action, from this sin. Allah, I need your fadl and karam. Then take the enjoyments from Ramadan. And then loot the rahmah and the mercies and the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.